Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
By the time she reached her mid-20s, she had learned not to introduce her life by talking about the strange parts first. She was a writer. She lived in northwestern Pennsylvania, not far from Erie. Her days were ordinary, structured, and mostly quiet. Nothing about her present life suggested the kind of childhood that left a person scanning rooms before turning out the lights. And yet the experiences had never been isolated to a single place or a single year. They arrived intermittently, spaced far enough apart to be dismissed if she wanted to dismiss them, persistent enough to form a pattern if she didn't. The first house her family lived in sat on land that predated them by more than a century. Built in the 1850s, it had been altered repeatedly over the years, changing hands, purposes, and layouts. By the time her father's family lived there, it had already lived several lives. At one point, it had been divided into apartments, one upstairs and one on the ground floor. Later, it was used by an undertaker who reportedly stored bodies in the basement. She didn't know that last detail as a child. She learned it only after the house burned down years later. But even without the context, the basement had always terrified her. She avoided it instinctively, never questioning whether the fear was rational. Children often fear the dark, after all. The difference was how specific the fear felt, as though the space itself rejected her presence. Her bedroom was upstairs, though bedroom was a generous description. It had once been the kitchen for the top-floor apartment, and it still felt transitional rather than private. There was no door separating it from the stairway, only a short hallway that opened directly into her space. From her room, one could access her parents' bedroom, her sister's bedroom, and the bathroom. There was no sense of enclosure, no way to close herself off completely. From a young age, she insisted on sleeping with the bathroom light on and the door open, using it as a makeshift nightlight. It was a small concession that made the nights tolerable. Even so, she often heard footsteps on the stairs. They were steady and rhythmic, not the random creaks her parents attributed to an old house settling. They sounded deliberate, as though someone were climbing slowly and with purpose. The fear never escalated into panic. It became background noise, something she learned to live with, rather than question. The same was true of the metal wardrobe in her room, whose doors opened on their own with frustrating regularity. She would close them, turn away, and hear them creak open again, moments later. The door between the kitchen and the garage downstairs also opened by itself, but only when she was nearby. Her mother treated these incidents lightly. "It's just the family ghost," she would joke, her understanding of ghosts shaped more by cartoons than conviction. There was no sense of threat in her tone, no acknowledgement that something might actually be wrong, that framing mattered. It taught her early on that these moments weren't worth stopping life over. The one experience she never shared happened when she was in third grade. She was upstairs in her room one evening, playing alone while the rest of her family gathered downstairs. Her window had plastic Venetian blinds, pulled fully closed. As she played, she heard a faint scratching sound at the window. It was subtle enough that she might have ignored it, but it repeated just long enough to draw her attention upward. She looked up in time to see the blinds begin to open. They didn't snap upward or sway as if disturbed by wind. They opened slowly, evenly, slat by slat, until the entire window was exposed. The motion was deliberate, paced, and unmistakable. She did not wait to see what might be on the other side. She ran downstairs and joined her family without explanation. When they asked what was wrong, she said nothing. She never told them about the blinds, not then and not later. Some things, she learned instinctively, felt dangerous to speak aloud. The activity continued in predictable ways after that. The footsteps, the wardrobe doors, the uneasy sleep. None of it escalated into something that demanded intervention, but none of it ever fully stopped. She carried the unease with her through childhood, learning to function around it. When the house burned down early on Christmas morning during her sophomore year of high school, the loss was devastating in the practical sense, but emotionally, she felt something else layered beneath the grief. Relief. The fire was never conclusively explained. Investigators believed it may have been electrical, possibly tied to the Christmas tree lights or related to candles left burning in wall sconces near the front door. The house was eventually torn down, and a newer, prefabricated home was placed on the same lot. In the new house, she finally had what she'd never had before, a real bedroom. Four walls, a door, a large window overlooking the yard. It felt clean, contained, and safe. For the first time, she allowed herself to believe that whatever had followed her childhood nights might have been tied to the structure itself. For the most part, she was right. The new house was quieter. The footsteps stopped. The doors stayed closed. Sleep came easier. She settled into adolescence with a sense that she'd left something behind, something that belonged to the old walls and the life they had once contained. But not everything stayed there. Even in the old house, she had experienced episodes that would later be identified as sleep paralysis. They were rare and brief, moments where she could see but not move, awake, but trapped. They occurred only a handful of times over many years, and she did not assign meaning to them at the time. That changed during her senior year of high school. One night she woke suddenly and saw the digital clock glowing beside her bed. It read 3:33 a.m. The television was on, as it always was at night, its low noise, something she relied on for sleep. Everything about the room was familiar. Except her body would not move. She could not lift her head or turn it. She could not wiggle her fingers or toes. Her chest felt crushed beneath an invisible weight, her breathing shallow and strained. Panic surged hard and fast, overwhelming any attempt at calm reasoning. She broke out in a cold sweat and felt stars dancing in her vision as the pressure intensified. The fear was absolute. For nearly 20 minutes, she struggled against it, certain she might lose consciousness or worse. When the pressure finally lifted, it did so abruptly, leaving her gasping for air. Her body was free again, but the terror lingered long after the episode ended. She did not sleep again that night. By morning, the fear had dulled, but it did not vanish. It followed her into the summer, and when she left for college, she carried it with her, hoping distance might finally put an end to the pattern. It didn't. College at first felt like a clean break. She enrolled at a private Christian school in western Pennsylvania, the kind of campus that felt deliberately ordered. Brick buildings, manicured lawns, chapel bells, marking time. It was a place built around structure, routine, and intention, and she welcomed that. If the activity she'd experienced as a child had been tied to the old house or to instability or even to her own fear, then this seemed like the safest possible environment to leave it behind. For a while, it worked. Her first year passed without incident. She settled into classes, made friends, and found comfort in the predictability of campus life. The experiences faded far enough into the background that she began to think of them as something she'd grown out of, an unfortunate but temporary chapter tied to childhood and an old house that no longer existed. That sense of safety made what happened next more jarring. Halfway through the first semester of her sophomore year, the sleep paralysis returned. Her living situation at the time was not ideal. A planned roommate arrangement had fallen through, and she was paired with a stranger, a younger student who had transferred late and taken the open bed. The room was small and utilitarian, furnished with bunk beds to maximize space. Her roommate slept on the top bunk. She slept on the bottom. The night it happened, there were no warning signs. She went to bed tired but calm, the way people do when they've had a full day and expect sleep to come easily. Sometime later, she woke abruptly, not to a sound or a movement, but to fear so intense it eclipsed everything else. It was immediate and overwhelming. Her heart raced violently, fluttering in her chest. Her skin was slick with sweat, her limbs numb and unresponsive. Her thoughts fractured, unable to form coherent sentences. She felt certain, absolutely certain, that she was dying. She tried to move and couldn't. She tried to speak and couldn't. She couldn't even open her eyes. The weight returned heavier than she remembered. It pressed down on her chest and legs, crushing the air from her lungs. Panic surged, sharp and suffocating, and with it came something new. Voices. There were three of them. One male voice spoke close to her right ear. Another female hovered near her left. A third male voice was directly in front of her face, close enough that it felt intrusive even without sight. She could not see them, but their placement was unmistakable. They occupied space. She did not remember every word that was spoken, but she remembered the tone. The male voice at her right ear spoke first, saying hello in a voice that sounded ordinary, almost familiar. To her own surprise, she answered him. The fear attached to him was muted, replaced by a strange sense of recognition, as though she had known him once or had been meant to know him. That reaction unsettled her later more than anything else. At the time, it felt natural. She had struggled with depression for years, trying medications that never quite worked. In the moment, she wondered, not calmly but instinctively, whether this presence and the others like it had been part of her life longer than she realized. Whether they had been there in the old house, responsible for the footsteps, the doors, the blinds, whether this was all connected. The familiarity did not last. When she told the voices she didn't want them around anymore, the tone shifted. All three began laughing, not playfully, but sharply, with an edge that felt calculated. They started speaking about her as if she weren't there, discussing her failures, her mistakes, her bad decisions. The words landed with precision, hitting vulnerabilities she rarely admitted even to herself. Anger cut through the fear. She struggled harder against the paralysis, her efforts frantic and unfocused. The more she fought, the louder the laughter became. At some point, she managed to force her eyes open and turn her head slightly toward the female voice. She saw nothing. No shape. No shadow. Acting on impulse, she forced her arm upward and reached toward where the voice was coming from. Her hand closed around a neck. The sensation was unmistakable. Skin. Warmth. The solid resistance of a slender human throat. It felt entirely real. The laughter intensified. That was the moment she reached the end of her tolerance. Whatever uncertainty she had about the nature of what was happening collapsed into resolve. She told them to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. The reaction was immediate. All three screamed. The sound rose sharply and then faded, pulling away from her awareness like something being dragged backward. As the screaming dissipated, the weight vanished. Her body released all at once, breath flooding back into her lungs. She lay there shaking, soaked in sweat, heart still racing, but no longer trapped. She did not go back to sleep. Instead, she got out of bed and began typing, recording everything she could remember. She was afraid that if she waited, doubt would set in, that she would convince herself it had been a dream. She knew she had been awake. Her body told her so. The clock read 5 a.m., When she eventually told her family what had happened, their reaction surprised her. Rather than dismissing it, they encouraged her to see a doctor. Not because they disbelieved her. because they wanted to be certain. She agreed, undergoing evaluations for conditions that might cause hallucinations or delusions. The results were unremarkable. There was nothing wrong with her. After that, the visitations slowed. The sleep paralysis episodes became infrequent, then nearly non-existent. Life resumed its forward motion, and she allowed herself to believe the worst had passed. But during spring break, while home from college, something reminded her that whatever had followed her to campus had not entirely let go. One night, she was jolted awake by a crash so loud it pulled her instantly out of sleep. The sound came from the living room or kitchen area, violent and abrupt. She got out of bed and went to investigate. The kitchen garbage can lay on its side in the living room, its contents scattered across the floor. This made no sense. Every night she placed the heavy can on the table to keep the dog out of it. It was far too heavy for either the dog or the cat to move, let alone drag into another room. When she returned to her bedroom, she found it altered. Her nightstand, a heavy wooden piece with drawers full of belongings, had been pulled away from the wall at an angle. The lamp that sat on top of it was turned on and lying on the floor. No animal in the house was capable of moving either object. She did not argue with herself this time. She did not look for alternative explanations. She simply put the furniture back, read from her Bible for a while, and went back to sleep. A few days later, her bedroom lamp turned itself on as she was leaving the room. She turned it off and tried to leave again. It came back on. There was no motion sensor, no wiring issue she could identify. Later that same day, she was home alone, reading downstairs, when she heard a familiar sound from upstairs. It was the sound of an animal pawing at a door, rhythmic and insistent. Assuming it was the cat, she went up and opened the door. Nothing was there. She closed it and returned downstairs. The sound resumed, persistent enough to become irritating rather than frightening. When she went up again, the hallway was empty. Frustrated, she took her book outside. Only then did she notice her cat rubbing against her leg. The realization settled quietly. The noises could not have been the cat. Those were the last incidents. They occurred 3 years ago, during her junior year of college. Nothing like them has happened since. Whether the activity ended because of faith, confrontation, timing, or some natural conclusion, she does not know. What she does know is that it followed her once, and that makes its absence now more mysterious than its presence ever was. The silence did not arrive all at once. At first, she kept waiting for something to break it. A sound in the night, the familiar weight on her chest, a moment of awareness that signaled she was no longer alone. Even as weeks passed without incidents, she remained cautious, as though the absence itself were provisional. Nothing happened. Spring turned into summer, summer into another academic year. She slept through the night without the television on. She stopped waking in a cold sweat. The fear that had once announced itself without warning receded quietly, leaving behind a kind of wary calm. The experiences that had punctuated her life for so long seemed to have reached a natural stopping point, though nothing about them had ever felt deliberate or orderly before. That unsettled her more than she expected. When something has followed you across houses, across years, across states, its disappearance raises as many questions as its arrival. She found herself replaying the moments that felt pivotal, searching for a cause and effect relationship that might explain the sudden quiet. The night she spoke the name of Jesus and the voices screamed. The decision to confront rather than plead. The act of refusing to engage beyond that moment. It would have been comforting to believe faith alone had ended it. But comfort and certainty are not the same thing. She was a writer by nature, which meant she distrusted clean conclusions. Life, in her experience, did not resolve itself neatly. Patterns faded, returned, transformed. The idea that something so persistent could simply vanish because of one declaration felt too simple, too satisfying to be fully trusted. There were other possibilities she could not ignore. Sleep paralysis, after all, had explanations rooted in neurology. Stress, exhaustion, depression, all of those had been present during the most intense years of activity. College had introduced structure, stability, a sense of purpose that had been missing before. It was entirely possible that the experiences had burned themselves out naturally, no longer fed by the same internal conditions. Then there was timing. The last incidents occurred during her junior year. After that, life accelerated. Graduation loomed, responsibilities multiplied, attention shifted outward. She was no longer lying awake with hours to think or fear. She was moving forward. If the experiences had thrived on attention, perhaps they simply lost interest. That idea unsettled her more than the religious explanation ever could. It suggested not a battle won, but a presence that moved on once it was no longer entertained. That she had not defeated anything so much as outgrown the conditions that allowed it to linger. And yet, she could not fully dismiss what happened that night in her dorm room. She remembered the weight of the voices around her, the precision with which they spoke about her failures, the way they reacted when she named something they seemed to recognize as authority. That reaction felt less psychological and more relational, as if a boundary had been crossed that they did not expect her to invoke. That moment had changed her, not because it ended the activity, but because it removed her sense of helplessness. She no longer felt like a passive participant in whatever had shaped her earlier experiences. Whether the voices were internal, external, symbolic, or something else, she had learned that resistance mattered. That lesson stayed with her even as the activity faded. Years passed without incident. She moved again. New apartments, new routines, new places that carried no weight, no physical warning, no instinctive dread. She slept easily. She stopped listening for footsteps that were not there. The silence, once suspicious, became ordinary. Still, she never fully relaxed into disbelief. When friends talked casually about haunted houses or ghost stories, she listened carefully, noting similarities and differences. She did not volunteer her own experiences unless asked directly. There was no desire to dramatize something that had once felt so consuming. She preferred to let it exist as a closed chapter, even if she did not fully understand how it ended. Faith became part of her daily life, but not in a performative way. She did not wield it as a shield against the unknown. She simply carried it quietly as something grounding. Whether it played a role in the silence or merely coincided with it remained an open question. Sometimes she wondered whether the activity had truly stopped or whether it had simply exhausted its usefulness. The thought that it might return no longer terrified her. If anything, it made her reflective. She understood now that fear had been the constant thread in all her earlier experiences. Fear had amplified sensation, blurred interpretation, turned uncertainty into threat. Removing fear did not remove mystery, but it changed how mystery behaved around her. Nothing followed her after college. No footsteps, no voices, no objects moved without explanation, no sensations of being watched. The absence itself became part of the story. If the experiences were tied to faith, then perhaps she had found protection. If they were tied to psychology, then perhaps she had healed. If they were something else entirely, something that attached itself for a time and then let go, then perhaps that was simply the nature of such things. She did not know. What she did know was this. The activity had followed her once, which meant it was never truly about a house. It had stopped later without ceremony or warning, which meant it had never been entirely under her control either. The question she carried now was quieter than the ones she had asked as a child or a student. Not what was it or why me, but why then? Why that span of years? Why that particular vulnerability? Why did it end when it did? Those questions did not demand answers anymore. They existed as reminders that some experiences shape a person without offering explanations in return. She lives peacefully now. Whether the activity ended because of faith, because of growth, or because it simply moved on, she cannot say. What matters is that she learned something essential in the process. Not how to banish the unexplained, but how to live without being ruled by it. And if the silence ever breaks again, she knows she will meet it differently than before, not as a frightened child or a trapped student, but as someone who understands that fear is not the same as power. Whatever it was, it had its time. And now so does she.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply. Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey, Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.